Luke 24, 2 to 10. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. I am grateful that I again attended Mennonite Convention. It was different this year because, as many of you know, we are in the middle of a sudden move and downsizing to Dock Acres. However, it felt good to leave that behind and enjoy time with our extended Menno family in worship and educational learning sessions. In the first worship service, as was done in Orlando, Florida, 2 years ago, specific mention and acknowledgement of the land we were using was made of the indigenous peoples who were here way before we came. We met a group of young and adult Native Americans during lunch one day from Farmington, New Mexico, who attended for the first time, and they said it was a new learning experience for them. I enjoyed seeing a rainbow of colors in worship leaders, speakers, and a variety of music, accompanied by several members of the Walking Roots Band of Harrisonburg, Virginia. This year, the youth and adults of 3,000 combined their worship time, and it was lively with old and new songs. Glenn Guyton, executive director of MCUSA, spoke on the last day on "Come as you are," and made foot washing down to earth by kneeling with a towel around his waist and used a spray bottle to wash and dry 6 to 8 youth's feet on the stage. I attended as many seminars as I could on a wide variety of topics. Cultural Humility by Andrea Sawyer Kersee, calling us to value all persons. Guns, A Loaded Conversation with Mike Martin, who works with Shane Claiborne and Raw Tools for those who desire to turn a gun into a garden tool. This was a session with about 150 people in the room, many of them young folks. And this is a pamphlet I picked up for conversation. Here is the church, Where Are the People? By Josh Packard, a religious sociologist who gave us hope even though things are changing. Listening for God at Any Age or Stage by Carla Minter. Reading the Bible's Difficult Texts by Megan Larissa Good. Voices. I also attended a Voices Together seminar with Bradley Kaufman and Ben Berge. Putting Jesus on the Ballot Box by Scott Peterson. Understanding Sex and Gender Development by James and Jane Mast. And another, Mennonites and the Holocaust what we did and what we didn't do and why, white supremacy, etc. It was so sobering. We had two times of silence during the presentation. At the beginning of the convention, I complained that we had to walk so far for coffee and breakfast that was reasonable in price, and then I gave myself a good talking. As a person of privilege, why should I complain? Food shortages and persons needing to walk great distances for basic needs all over the world, including terrible things happening at our southern borders. I needed to change myself. We were glad to attend. We met new people and renewed old acquaintances.
John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." These verses were the basis for the worship services that Glenda mentioned. And there's a lot of resources online, videos and blogs and all kinds of things to read about the convention. And one of my memories is going to be of Glenn Guyton singing a solo that last day of convention to, I think it was a Nirvana song. And he was like a rock star. Now, this is the executive director of MCUSA. I am being a good Mennonite and recycling my delegate badge, using it again one more time. Forgot to put it in the bin as I left that last day. I am very thankful for the congregation for the privilege of representing Plains at Mennonite Church USA. Pastor Mike and I were the two delegates from our congregation, and we were roommates, which was a very positive experience for the most part, except he made me feel lazy because every day he went out and went for a run that was miles long, and I stayed in the room in comfort. But that's the way it was. There were approximately 500 delegates at the convention. 4 years ago, there were about 700 delegates to convention. With the loss of a couple key conferences, the church has indeed dwindled a bit in size. One of the most memorable things about going to these events as a delegate is your table group. And what happens at these table groups is there's about eight people who sit around a table for all the delegate sessions. And it's expected you stay with the same table group for the duration. And you never know what you're going to get. My table group had people from five different states. And it was very interesting to get to know them a little bit in the 3 days that we had together. As it was mentioned, the morning sessions were Bible study on the book of Ephesians with our teacher, Tom Yoder Neufeld. And yes, that phrase, "the church is a mess, thanks be to God," was heard a number of times. I would just add one comment, and maybe Mike will talk about this too. Tom said, "Yes, the church is a mess, but God messes with the mess." there's a purpose in the mess, and it is transformation, but it's going to be messy along the way. There are about three or four things that the delegates did as far as actions that I'll just mention, and again, there's much more online that you can read about these. One of the things that was done was to allow churches to send a youth delegate to convention, starting immediately. So each congregation will have one additional delegate who's from the age 16 to 21 who qualifies to be a delegate. That seemed to be symbolic of wanting to get young people more and more involved in church-wide decision-making. If you remember Orlando 2017, there was one of the big events there was dealing with the Israel-Palestine situation and a resolution that the delegates passed. And so in 2019, there was a follow-up to that, a report on how churchwide agencies are following through on building bridges with Jewish communities and Muslim communities in our cities and towns. As sometimes happens, there was an impromptu resolution brought to the group. And this resolution, this time, was about the treatment of migrant children on the southern border. So a group of people got together a draft resolution, brought it to a committee, it was processed, and eventually we as a delegate body voted on that and approved of it overwhelmingly. And you can read that online and see about suggested actions that individual congregations can consider. There was other business types of things that had to be done. There was a slate of new board members to be approved. There was the announcement of the retirement of Stanley Green, the head of Mennonite Mission Network. There was a presentation about the new hymnal that's coming out very soon. So there's those kinds of housekeeping type things that need to happen. And as delegates, that is necessary work. Although the downside is we don't get to take in the many, many wonderful workshops that like Abe and Glenda were able to attend as non-delegates. Another follow-up type piece was the delegates were polled about how we feel the leadership should work on membership guidelines. This, again, kind of raised the issue of how the church deals with sexual minorities and how we relate to that in terms of polity and congregational life. So there was that as a poll that was done, but no other action was taken on that topic. It was very interesting, I think, that we took the time to do the Bible study in delegate session. Again, kind of reminding ourselves that you cannot separate the work of the church from worship and from reflecting on the life of Jesus, our resurrected Lord. There was also a transfer of leadership from moderator David Bossart to Joy Suter, who is from our area. And the new moderator-elect is also a woman, so for the first time, Mennonite Church USA, the top two leaders are both female. And there's much more that you can find on the website, or feel free to ask me questions as well. We'd be glad to talk with you. I highly encourage any of you to experience a convention like this. It really gives you a window into a much wider church world. And for people like me who've lived in various places across the country, it is a good time to reconnect with some people. I met a couple people from our days in Oregon that was good to catch up with. The next convention is in 2 years in Cincinnati, Ohio, so it's not nearly as far away as the last several ones have been. So I definitely would invite you to take that in if you're able. Thank you.
In Sing the Journey, number 72, we will sing One is the Body, one of my very favorite songs, and I think it speaks immeasurably of how the church is to work. We are all needed. Let us please stand.
These words from the book of Ephesians. Paul begins the second half of the book of Ephesians with chapter 4, the word therefore, the practical implications of this large Ephesian vision. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in joy, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Skipping to verse 11, the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us have come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Thanks be to God for these words. I want to thank you for the opportunity as well to travel to Kansas City for the Mennonite Convention several weeks ago. And I did take a whole variety of pictures and I put them in the church Dropbox this week. And I just forgot to tell the sound booth people that they were there to watch during the pre-service and offering time. So maybe next week you get to see the pictures, some of the which were captured on some of the runs that I took early in the morning and some of the sites that I was able to see in the city. Not otherwise accessible throughout the convention. Well, I largely enjoy these conventions as well, catching up with folks I haven't seen in years. You know, a lot of superficial conversations of passing others here and there, maybe at times doing supper or a meal with some friends we haven't seen for a while. At my delegate table, there was also a wide variety of people, an 87-year-old retired surgeon from Kansas, a pastor from Lincoln, Nebraska, a civil rights lawyer from Cleveland, Ohio, another woman from Normal, Illinois, Jim Gundon from Zion Mennonite Church, Paula Stolzfus from Harrisonburg now, and another retired man from Phoenix, Arizona. Just, a nice mix of folk across the church. I might also say that I did miss the convention 2 years ago. And so the last time I was at a convention was 4 years ago, back in Kansas City for the first time, and there we were again. But 4 years ago, it was a very difficult and very heavy convention. 4 years ago, there was a cloud of division over the gathered assembly. And if you remember, 4 years ago was when there were two resolutions that were passed, kind of two maybe somewhat opposite resolutions. We passed the membership guidelines, which was kind of supposed to be the statement on human sexuality for the church. And we also passed the forbearance resolution, which was to say, you know, we're different and we disagree and we need to find ways of bearing with one another in love. And it seems in the intervening years and even from that point on, maybe half the church really felt good about one and half the church felt good about the other. And in the last 4 years, there's been a wandering away and a gradual sort of movement. Congregations who've left, whole conferences that have left Mennonite Church USA, and then the other pre-planned transition was with the executive director. Irvin Stutzman, after serving about 9 years, has transitioned to Glenn Guyton, who started a year or two ago. But in contrast to Kansas City 4 years ago, with pain in the church between then and now, this convention felt very, very different. There was a positive, uplifting spirit to worship, the delegate sessions, a reminder to all of us that we were family together as a church, near and far. The first night, there was encouragement to reach out to someone you didn't know. For some of us social types, that's a very engaging time. And for those who, you know, are more introverted, it's a bit of an awkward experience. But I met Tonda, an older African-American woman from Cleveland Heights, Ohio, where the civil rights lawyer at my table was from. 28 people from that church in Cleveland Heights, Cleveland, Ohio, were present at the convention, including their pastor, Vicky, who was one of the worship leaders every evening for our worship services. I was also very impressed with Glenn Guyton's leadership as well as our new executive director of MCUSA. His passion, he wants to take the church somewhere. He connects with young and old. But perhaps the greatest joy for me was the Bible studies that were held every day, each of the 3 days the delegates were in session, from the book of Ephesians, led by Tom Yoder Neufeld. Tom Yoder Neufeld is a retired professor from the University of Waterloo, Ontario. Conrad Grebel University is the Mennonite kind of center on that campus. Tom is very active in Mennonite World Conference, has traveled the world, but perhaps he's best known for writing the commentary on Ephesians as part of our Believer's Church Commentary series. There's a copy in the library, and I'm going to need to buy a copy for myself. Very, very stimulating. 3 sessions on the book of Ephesians and 1 open seminar session for young and old youth and adults on forbearance and the significance of that Christian practice in the life of the church. Tom is winsome, an engaging presenter using wit and humor to communicate sort of the basic truth of the gospel, from the core message of Ephesians, basically saying God is a gathering God. One of the characteristics of God is a gatherer who wants to put the world back together again. Maybe that little glimpse of 50 years ago with the moon landing, because I read somewhere too that crime was at its lowest point in that particular time in the history of the world. Well, maybe that's a microcosm of what the church should be, a reflection of God's kind of unifying, gathering project, where it's stated rather clearly in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, God has his plan in the fullness of time to gather up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. And then he talked about a variety of biblical references to this gathering concept of God, but perhaps the most familiar one that we can identify with is the father of the prodigal son's story, who scans the horizons, looking to the margins, wanting to gather the lost and the forsaken back, where God's love reaches the remotest parts of creation. But if in the Bible God is a gathering God, we humans are characterized by our scattering. The world is a scattered place. Creation is marked by great diversity, people in the world, a great reflection of God's manifold diversity. We are scattered by so many things: our wealth, scattered by politics, scattered by a race, language, education, scattered by our own sinfulness and by the sin of others. And so on a human level, we think about God's project to gather, and we know what it's like to gather, because on a human notion and level, we want to scatter and we want to be unique and different. It's hard work. Blame it on God, Yoder Neufeld says. This is God's project to bring this diverse group of people together in this foretaste of all eternity in the church. And it looks impossible. So blame it on God. Thanks to God, this is God's mess. And because this grand vision for unity and peace is so central to who God is, it's why we find in almost every letter Paul writes these references to the Christian practices like patience, forgiveness, humility, love, forbearance. Paul's writing to a church riddled with diversity, and we see it in Ephesians, the near and the far, the Jews and the Gentiles coming together in this new one body, and how the work of Christ and this unpredictable wind of God's Spirit pulls us all together. Well, this is what the church is like, and I'm starting to preach now instead of just tell you a little bit about that Bible study, but he said, you know, as he thought about the title for this Bible study, he thought Gathered into One really makes a nice Bible study title. But then as he reflected more, and it hit him when he thought about this being God's project, that really a better title is The Church is a Mess, Thanks to God, or what became more popularly known, The Church is a Mess, Thanks be to God. We have separation down, he went on to say. There were times in our history we separated. We were the virtuous minority in our identity as God's people. But maybe we need to think about ourselves as a womb for new birth, a womb where God is at work bringing something new into existence. And the church is that space for God's gathering project, but we haven't arrived yet. We don't quite know how to do it, because we know how to scatter all too well. So he gave us the grace to try and fail, knowing that this unity isn't achieved by our agreement. It's not achieved by our harmony. It's rather found in God's Spirit, God's restless, missionary, messy Spirit blowing through us, bringing us together. And I'll simply close again by noting his title and ask you to respond: The church is a mess.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.